When was the last time you went to a doctor's office? It's been a while for some. Some hasn't. As we get older, we sometimes visit them a little bit more frequently than we want to. But some, through the years, I've heard people, you know, that I never visited a doctor's office at all. My grandfather was one of them. And some say even that they're evil, they're arrogant, they're self-centered, until you need one of them. Until you need that treatment. The aforementioned words used to describe doctors' characters can be applied to almost everyone in any profession. In a message sometimes back, a minister in the Church of God, he was talking about a trip he went overseas. And I can't remember, it was in Africa. And I can't remember exactly, but I remember more or less what happened. And he was ready to board an airplane heading back to the United States. And before he boarded, there was, I think it was in Africa, the official there checked his visa, and she said, "You're missing a document." And he said, "A document? Yes. And I can't know the specifics. And you can't board the plane. You can't leave Africa until you had that document." And he was saying, well, where do I get it? Well, you had to go to downtown, this town. And in other words, you had to leave the airport, go into town and into downtown and get it. So he scratched and he said, "Man, that's not possible." So he was going back and forth with the official until one of the sponsors that was with him, he went up to the official and says, "How much for the document?" And she pulls out a document, already signed, but lays it on her bill, and she mentions the amount it was, and he pays it, and he takes another drawer, puts that document in the other drawer. And he gets to load on. A person given power over people at times abuses that power. And we all heard of that little rhyme, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, that's the human factor, brother. The whole idea of some people that have low self-esteem, given power, want to, you know, take it out on other people. So back to the doctors. Doctors have a practice to improve one's health. If you are ill, their job is to find out a remedy that illness. Many do their best. And one example we find is in the Bible. Dr. Luke, in which my sermon is titled. He was known as the beloved physician. Remember, or doctor, which is mentioned by Paul in Colossians. You know, all physicians are doctors, but not all doctors are physicians. That's what they're saying. Let's go to Colossians 4:12. This is where Paul is mentioning Luke. Luke and Paul were very good friends, and Luke stuck by Paul to the very end of him. Colossians 4, verse 12, it reads, "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God. Mature and fully assured." Verse 13. "I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis." Verse 14. "Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send their greetings." Now, if you remember, brethren, it says on this translation, it says wrestling in prayer. Wrestling in prayer means he really has some emphasis asking God for some strength for the congregation. So Luke, the doctor, gives the salutations to the people in Colossae. He was with Paul during all his ministry. He wasn't one for gaining attention. He kept a low profile. He was a very humble man. He was a Gentile. Luke was a Gentile. He never met Jesus. The other three from the gospel writers did. The earliest account of that Luke's name is mentioned is in Philemon 24. You don't have to go there. Philemon was written before the other in Acts. They were written before Acts. They say it was in 60 AD, I think Philemon was written. So Luke is the only Gentile writer within the New Testament. He was a Greek born out of Antioch in ancient Syria. He was an outsider. He wasn't part of a clique. So the next earliest accounts of Luke, I dug in more after Paul's writings, is, it's not biblical, but is in Anti-Marcionite prologue to the Gospel of Luke. You ask, what do you mean, Anti-Marcionite prologue? They're ancient Christian writings dating 150 to 255 AD. There it is stated, Luke probably was originally a convert through Peter, it's written, who became a disciple of Paul and followed him until Paul's martyrdom. Then, having served the Lord continuously, unmarried and without children, Luke died at age 84. Some scholars believe he was hung. Neither the Gospel of Luke nor the Book of Acts indicates when they were written. Unlike Matthew, Luke makes new references to Old Testament quotes and explains Jewish traditions. In addition to that, he had his own style in writing. He defined when about the birth of Jesus, more accurate than Matthew did, because Matthew and Luke were the only ones that had that, described Jesus' birth. But he had it from a physician's view. He had like a mini gospel. If you look into ancient writings and paintings, the four evangelists were often depicted as winged creatures. Matthew was depicted as a winged man. Mark was a winged lion. And Luke, winged ox. And John, an eagle. So it's pretty close representation to the creatures in the books of Ezekiel and Revelation. That's another sermon. Back, they depict Luke as a winged ox, but back then an ox was a valued animal. It's kind of quiet and it's strong. Luke focuses on portraying his passion and death in a sacrificial manner. Luke is one of the three synoptic gospels. Synop, like many of you might know, is an optic. Means optic, and the same is sin. The gospels of Mark and Matthew and Luke all mentioned miracles, teachings, and sayings. But Luke, again, had his own way of writing. And he had different parables, such as the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, and the disciples of Road and Emmaus. That's just naming a few. Different than the rest of them. Again, Dr. Luke had a distinct honor of being the only non-Jewish writer in the New Testament. Let's go to Acts 11. Acts 11, 19, verse 21. Acts 11, 19, 21. It says, now those had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. See, every time Luke had a chance, he'd give a plug for his home stomping grounds, which was Antioch. Every time he had. Verse 20. Some of them, however, men of Cyprus, Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So every time he had a chance, he'd give a plug to his stomping grounds. So Antioch is mentioned throughout the book of Acts. So interesting enough, in Acts 6, okay, let's go to Acts 6. But before we start, he gives a plug to, he makes a special annotation to, he knew these deacons. But just take note on this particular one. On Acts 6, verse 5, it says, this proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch. Nicholas was the only one that was mentioned that he was from Antioch. He knew where the rest of them were from, but he didn't mention that. He gave a plug. In Luke, he mentions Jesus talking about physicians. And you don't have to go there, but you can take a note on it. Luke 4:23, Jesus is mentioned, says, those that do not have a need for a physician, you know, are well. And those that are sick need one. So Jesus Christ himself said, if you're sick, you go to a doctor. But if you're well, you have no need for one. And another one, that was in Luke 5:31, that scripture was. And in Luke 4:23, Jesus is mentioned again saying, physician, heal yourself. So interestingly enough, Luke always brings the medical terminology into this. Now, a lot of this training that Luke got was in the Greek medical centers, such as Pergamum, Athens, Alexandria, and Egypt. Those were established by none other but Hippocrates. Hippocrates is known as a father of modern medicine. Now, he didn't follow, or he broke away from traditional Greek thinking about people that were sick, or they had an ailment or a disease. Back then, the Greeks thought that if you were sick or you had a disease, you upset the gods, you know. And Hippocrates delved in a little bit more. He started looking at the person's lifestyle, what the person was eating, and what he or she was involved in. He also dissected patients. Hopefully, when they were dead. But nonetheless, he studied the way the inner workings of a human body was, and how they got affected by drinking too much alcohol, what sexually promiscuity causes. That's how the disease they got, which was totally contrast to Greek mythology, because if you've seen Greek gods, they were all, they had great physiques, and they were all sexually promiscuous, because that's what people were emulating, were their gods. So people didn't get sick because of angry gods, they got sick because of their lifestyles. He also had natural remedies. Have you seen the In a pharmacy, an old pharmacy, and you've seen those old ceramic glasses, and it has like something that they used to ground things. Well, back then, people ground herbs, and they ground them up, and they put them with water. And one such herb, it's a willow tree. A willow tree, you take the leaves, and you take the bark, and you grind it up, and it turns into a powder. And that powder is called salicylic acid. And salicylic acid is used in aspirin. But, you know, mankind, through the years, say bigger and better. If one is good, two is better, and three is even better. They've abused this, and they chemically break it down, and they use what we have aspirin now. And that's why you can't, this doctor says, always take an aspirin in a full stomach because of the salicylic acid. He also, But salicylic acid also is found in peas and beans, and lots of in carrots and a lot of root crops. So again, food is medicine. And Hippocrates found that out 2,300 years ago. And now there's a big trend on the keto diet, the Hollywood diet, all kinds of diets, and some of this stuff has already been figured out. He also established a principle. And his principle says, do no harm to the patient. The Hippocratic Oath still stands as a cornerstone in modern medicine, and it even forbids doctors assisted suicide and abortion. Get a load of that, brother. The Hippocratic school was a patient-oriented and not state-oriented. A lot of these hospitals, a lot of doctors, and you can see the trend in socialist countries that doctors and hospitals are state-oriented. Dr. Luke was called a beloved physician, and he has five lifestyle lessons we can probably hang our coat on. First one, he was a humble person. He didn't like his name to be mentioned, but Paul mentioned it anyway. In Proverbs 6:16, you have to go there, it mentions about the six things that God hates. And number one thing he hates is a proud look. Second, Dr. Luke used his medical training and ability as a mission field and a tool to further the gospel. Medicine, if one follows the Hippocratic philosophy, is patient-centered and ideal for Christian involvement. Dr. Luke was a personal physician who was a patient-oriented. And scholars believe that he many times treated Paul. And maybe that's why Paul and him stuck around a lot. Because remember, Paul had an ailment. Remember that thorn in Corinthians that Paul tells God, man, this thorn you're giving me all the time, can you relieve it? No. Because remember, Paul was beaten up, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, so he was pretty beat up. And scholars believe that he suffered from severe headaches. That's what they believe, he had severe headaches. And Dr. Luke was there to help him. Third, Dr. Luke demonstrated loyalty to his friend, the Apostle Paul. Like I said, everybody that was with Paul, if we read the scriptures, abandoned him. And he was just left with Dr. Luke. Proverbs 18:24, you don't have to go there, states, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Dr. Luke stuck close to Paul in the darkest hour. Fourth, Dr. Luke was a man of prayer. He did it and he wrote about it. So we got to ask ourselves how our prayer life is. Fifth, Dr. Luke ministered by his life and writings to the whole person, spiritual and physical. Human beings are made in the image of true God. Thus, we are trichotomous, being the body, soul, and spirit. That's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We can go to 1 Thessalonians. I got a couple of seconds here. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And it says here, 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, the whole thing, whole, everybody. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, in James it says, our faith is useless without works. That's James 2. So Luke showed us that his works, even though he didn't talk a lot, he exemplified his works. See, brethren, our actions, communication, and the way we treat our fellow man should be medicinal. In a way, we too are doctors. We should have that comforting ear. healing the world with our quiet conversation, demeanor, actions, and with our speech. As it's mentioned in James 1, 19. So we are to dispense spiritual medicine to each person to provide a calming spirit and a spirit of hope. There is hope with somebody if we spread that spirit of hope. Brethren, continue to have that spirit. Fear God and keep His commandments.